Welcome to the Change Management Podcast. My name is Dr. Louise Bright, and today I'm joined by Paul Loughlin, who's an expert in data analytics and insight leadership. In this episode, we'll explore digital transformation and the importance of data in decision making. But before we start, Paul, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Yeah, happy to. And thanks for having me on, Louise. So I spent most of my working life, 25 years across different parts of Lloyds Banking Group. So I've had a career in IT and actuarial in marketing, and eventually found my passion working with data and analytics and helping teams make a difference in their organization through using those. So did that for about 13 and a half years, then got too old to do as I'm told. So I left and I've spent the last 6.5 years both training and coaching leaders in those kind of teams, largely in large organizations, because it's often the people side of those roles that makes a difference. And that's what I do.
Wow. So you've got your own personal experience. And I guess what you can bring to the table today is experience of other organizations that you've worked with as well. So that would be really great for you to share with us. The first question really is, to start from the beginning, we're all now talking about pivoting, digital pivot, digital transformation. What do we really mean by that?
Yes, it's a very good question, Louise. It is a bit of a buzzword, isn't it? It's always tempting to go a bit circular and just say it's about transforming your organization by using digital tools, but I guess that doesn't get us very far. So I had a bit of a look, and I decided that the definition I like best is one put about by an organization called Gartner. They're one of the leading IT research companies. And they say digital transformation can refer to anything from IT modernization, for example, moving to cloud computing, to digital optimization, to the invention of new digital business models. But the terms widely used, they say in the definition, in public sector organizations, to refer to quite modest initiatives, like putting services online for the first time or legacy modernization. I think the thing that highlights is the terms overused to mean all things to all people. So I've started looking for four elements to truly convince myself that something's digital transformation: that it improves the efficiency of a process or a business by using online tools, what people will often call automation; that it improves ease and accessibility through using online tools, that usability, that better meeting of people's needs, convenience, and all that good stuff; and that it's actually rethinking ways of working because of what's now possible because of digital tools. So it's not just automating how things have been done in the past. And finally, I think the other element that can be challenging is often to achieve that, it means delivering it in a new way, what people will often call agile working. So complex answer, I'm afraid, but I see digital transformation as all four of those parts.
Interested in learning about driving organizational change? Search for the USW Changemaker program.
And there's a lot to unpack there, isn't there? And those kind of four criteria that you've got. From my own experience, I think when we start talking about, you know, let's move online, what about the cloud, let's make things more efficient, people can be a little bit kind of defensive, because I think they worry that that means, oh, this will mean the computers and the machinery will take over and you won't need us, you don't need people anymore. So what do you think, what is the role of people in this transformation, and particularly as leaders, you know, how can we bring those people with us in this transformation?
Good question, Louise. It's a really important area of focus as well. Completely acknowledge people are scared, I guess, about the robots taking their jobs, about being automated into obscurity. Actually, the organizations that have made a success of digital transformation, I'd highlight that it's been driven by understanding how it makes things better for people. So if you're going to be effective, this isn't about just new shiny bits of kit. I'm old enough to remember all the hype around CRM, data warehousing, all the previous buzzwords that got too big for their boots as well. And people who got it wrong just bought a shiny new bit of kit and thought it was all about, we'll make loads of money by using the technology. The people who got it right and it sustained and continued to improve were the people who recognized, actually, it's about understanding, how would this be better for our customers or our service users? And how could this be better for our employees and the efficiency of how we work? Now, I don't want to be all positive picture. I think people will need to reskill. I think there are jobs that will be removed by automation and greater intelligence in processes. but it isn't meaning that people are an unimportant part of that equation. Actually, understanding what's going to be helpful to people and the best way for people to work is crucial to designing digital transformation that will work. And lastly, without giving you too long an answer, completely agree on the importance of leadership. I'm always put in mind of, it may seem a bit of a tangent, but there's a guy called Warren Buffett, sometimes called the Sage of Omaha, a great famous investor. And one of his favorite quotes was, "When the tide goes out, we discover who was swimming without clothes." And I feel like the moment in the pandemic and actually the challenge of digital transformation as well, we're seeing that with leadership. We're seeing the people who haven't really got the leadership capability that's needed at this time. And I think digital transformation does that to organizations as well. You see the people who genuinely can be coaches as leaders, who genuinely can communicate a compelling vision and take their people with them. And if you can't, the resistance and the energy wasted on that is ultimately probably going to mean you fail.
There's a really key bit that you said right at the beginning of that answer for us as leaders. I think we probably think about digital transformation from the kind of customer or client, or this is going to make their experience better. But actually, that's really important, isn't it? What you said about if it's going to be successful, it actually makes things better for the employees as well. Mm. So that might be something we can use in leadership to kind of help bring people with us.
I absolutely agree, Louise. Yeah. And actually, often so important from an insight and understanding of the better way to operate as well. I find an untapped resource in too many organizations is to talk to your people on the front line, talk to your people in the factory, talk to your people who talk to the public, because they will even better sometimes than talking to the end users, really see where things aren't working, where things could operate in a better way. And it's that very skilling up to give them more of a voice to shape how you operate in future that is lifting them up to the kind of skills you'll want them to have in a more digital operation anyway. Mm. So yeah, completely agree.
Around digital transformation, we also have this thing that we often talk about called data and data analytics. Mm. How does that fit with the digital transformation piece?
I think of it as like the lifeblood of the system. I think there's a danger sometimes that we expect the digital transformation to do the magic. You know, we put the digital transformation in and it all suddenly works. It's more like plumbing and it needs something to flow through it. And that something is data. It's about having information on how things currently operate that would enable you to then spot where there are faults or where there's inefficiencies and thus have a more efficient process, if it's that kind of digital transformation. It's about having data on people and how they currently receive a service, what's working, what's not working, how you could personalize it more for them that enable that kind of digital transformation to work. Ultimately, if you haven't got data in the system, you won't actually be able to deliver any changed process or changed experience for end customers that works. The information is what powers the system, if you like. Mm. And analytics, and the more advanced side, I suppose we'd be talking about AI, is really crucial to be able to be intelligently using that data to do the sensible things with it, to spot where there are duplications and manage to not be sending someone two letters on exactly the same topic, to use a trivial example. Or to communicate with someone in a way that suggests that you really know and value them. That kind of stuff is empowered by data and analytics. And I, funnily enough, because things like GDPR, the General Data Protection Regulation, which caused everyone to have all those unwanted emails from everybody trying to get permission, that caused a lot of organizations to perform something called an information audit. They probably did it as a checkbox exercise because the regulator needed them to. But that should document for organizations what data they currently hold and how they process it. That's a really useful thing to look at if you're doing digital transformation, to think about not just what I've talked about already, what would be better for your customers, what would be better as internal processes, but what data, what lifeblood to flow through the system do I currently have? And where are there gaps? How would I be enabled to do something differently? It's another feed in to the kind of thought work that needs to go into designing how you approach this.
That's really interesting. And you mentioned AI, artificial intelligence, and I'd like to kind of expand on that. And there's two questions, I think. How can organizations take advantage of the big data and technology like AI? And I think my second kind of question for you is, I think we tend to think about this from a big, complex organization perspective. But what about a smaller organization? You know, is big data important? Has it got a role in an organization that isn't really complex and massive with lots of employees and lots of clients?
I do think, to take the first part of your question, that use of analytics all the way up to using AI can be helpful for all sorts of sizes of organizations. Let me unpack that a little bit, because there's so much hype around this. Data science broadly is going beyond traditionally how analytics has been used to maybe describe people, to look at their behavior and to predict if they act like they did in the past week, they might be able to be targeted for certain activities. It's that kind of work. Data science enabled the use of some more coding sophistication to begin to get a little bit more intelligent around predicting people's behavior, classifying them in different ways. It basically used the power of computing and some other, to use some jargon, algorithmic approaches to maybe be a little bit more sophisticated about that. And in some cases, a bit more prescriptive, not just predictive of behavior. AI, as it's often referred to, spans a really broad range of applications beyond that. You might be seeking to have an interaction with someone who, which is so intelligent in responding, they believe it's a human being. I don't think we have many chatbots or voice recognition systems that are pulling that off yet. It feels terribly fake most of the time. But it's that journey toward, could something be as effective and as intelligent in its response as a human being is in the situation? Now, not many small organizations are going to worry about that end of the spectrum. But I think there's actually a lot of encouragement from what happens in big companies that small companies, I think, could listen to and learn from, which is, it isn't actually what you hear in the hype that delivers success stories. Most, to use one of your terms, big data successes, where they've actually made money for the organization, it was neglected internal data that they ended up using. Maybe there was data on people who were calling the call center, or data on emails coming in, or data which was in a format that had previously been difficult to use or hadn't been easy to process in the past, that by using some new technology and approaches could be used in order to know what people had said when they'd last interacted with you and how you could respond in an appropriate and timely way. Now, that side, rather than trying to build a robot that intelligently recognizes you, I think can be very relevant to small organizations. To step back and think, it's about people. I'm wanting to deliver a better experience for people. I'm wanting to operate in an effective way internally. What information have I got in all sorts of different formats that would enable me to know what's going on at the moment, spot where there are problems, spot where things could be improved, and respond in an intelligent way? That's applicable for small businesses, not just big ones.
Yeah, I can imagine we've all got that sort of data, isn't it? It's just thinking about what it might tell us if we look at it in different ways. And I suppose that takes me to my next question, which is around data visualization. Again, it's another thing that I hear quite a lot. But can you kind of unpack that and tell us how that might help organizations?
Yeah, happy to, Louise. I think this is maybe a little bit less obvious for people at first. They might think, hang on a sec, why has pretty graphs got anything to do with digital transformation? Actually, I think it's hugely important, because we're not good as human beings at understanding data when it's represented just in tables of numbers. Even accountants and those funny types of people aren't always good at that. People, because of the way our brains are wired, are much more able to understand information that's conveyed visually and is where it's been well designed. And that's absolutely key with digital transformation. And there are two parts to that I'd call out. One is, digital transformation projects tend to be really complex and interconnected, and there's a lot of information you'd want to be on top of in order to understand the progress that you're making, any issues you've got, progress of other people, the current goals you're working toward, timing, etc. Being able to visualize that in a simple way that everybody can understand how they're doing, what they need to do next, and who they need to interact with, that can help hugely in being transparent about the project and coordinating people. But the other thing is the end delivery of digital transformation towards, say, customers or service users. Often what you're doing is you're needing to communicate data or a result to that person in a way that traditionally might have been done through a long letter or might have been done with someone on the phone or someone sitting there and talking to them. And you're now limited to a digital screen or a message to do that. That requires effective design. That requires good, succinct, clearly understandable, intuitive often, visual design of the information. And I think we need to remember the average numeracy level of the UK population is primary school level. So let's stop pretending we can put complex graphs in front of people and expect them to understand that. We need to put the effort in to visually communicate in a way that works for people.
We've gone almost through the whole podcast without mentioning the pandemic. But really, I mean, the pandemic is touching all sorts of parts of businesses, really. And I'm just wondering, with your experience of dealing with lots of different types of organisations, have you got any examples of businesses that are thriving, during this really difficult time because they're kind of innovating and they're using technology in different ways?
Yeah, I think there's a couple I could probably usefully share. It's always tempting to say you want to be a big technology firm or you want to work in pharmaceuticals. You know, if we're looking at stock price, that they're not doing too badly. But let me think in the context of what we've talked about. So two businesses I'll highlight. One of the clients of mine with the work that I do with training and coaching is eBay. And there's a small independent bookshop in Truro in Cornwall called Pennyworth's. They are just a small setup, a mum who has inherited the shop from her mother, and just four people helping her, faced a real challenge when we started that first lockdown. They've got all this stock, all these books. How on earth did they respond? What they did, which was so effective for them, was to clearly understand what would work for their customers and to use a platform that would deliver that as an effective process. And that for them meant making up Easter boxes of books themed for particular types of readers they'd understand and recognize and start selling them on eBay. And it was a great success. They spotted that beyond all the big players out there, what had they got? They'd got a good understanding of the material that they were selling. They knew these books. They knew the kind of other authors that people might like if they liked certain types of genres. And they were able to bundle up something that met this present giving need for their customers. And they had this proven platform with eBay to deliver it that worked for them. So I think they're a nice example at the simple, small end of the scale. Another one of my clients is RSA Insurance Group. Might not be so familiar to people, but huge international insurer, More Than is one of their brands. They, I think, did really well about what we've talked in terms of people and leadership. Right from the beginning, very clear communications to staff, longer term promises in terms of redundancy, in terms of freedom to work from home, made that commitment early on and really invested in saying we are going to focus on our employees first. We're going to understand what's going to help you through this. They invested even in mentoring leaders to adapt to managing teams virtually. A good job done in that. Initially, technologically, out of interest, a very basic solution. They had laptops out to people quickly, but they were just using Skype for Business and really quite antiquated systems. But they were really good at keeping in constant communication with their people to learn about investing to pay to upgrade people's home broadband, making the move across to Microsoft Teams, opening the office when people needed to come in there to work. I think their flexibility to change their systems with what was working for employees has been really good. And it's built a lot of goodwill among a lot of staff I know there in terms of not just fine words, but being there for their employees and helping them work effectively during that time. And my only final point would be, I think some businesses that had already changed or positioned themselves for this new world well before the pandemic are doing very nicely as well. I think of simple examples like I'm one of those men who uses a subscription shaving service where my razor blades come through the post. I use Shave Kit. I'm quite happy with them. Their business model survived great because they were already doing digital transformation, working in a way where that way of working was normal to them. So to some extent, they haven't been affected by the pandemic.
That's really interesting. And you've given us lots of different examples then. I think, you know, quite often when we talk about data insights and digital transformation, people don't really think it applies to them or their business. And I think I'm quite persuaded, actually, after listening to you that, there's something in it for everybody, isn't there? And we shouldn't be frightened of that terminology. So thank you for sharing, Paul. It's been really, really fascinating.
You are very welcome. Thanks for the conversation, Louise.
If you want to hear more of the Change Management podcast, then please do subscribe. Thank you to listening, and thank you again to our guest today, Paul Loughlin. To find out more about this podcast and our business services at the University of South Wales, please visit southwales.ac.uk/business.